And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
All right. I'm just gonna play us in a little bit.
When are you gonna tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
You want to just stay like a fist? Yeah. Beautiful.
Cool beans.
Beautiful. Hey, this is John. This is a late John. But I hit traffic. This is home from here. Let me see. What do I have to tell you? Before I introduce a guest, I have to tell you, me and Rich Dashnaw are going to be at the Rhine Cellar June 7th, starts at 7, should be a lot of fun. He's amazing, he's an amazing guitar player. He's an amazing everything player. I'm hosting the James Warrior Music Festival, that's July 27th, it starts at noon and goes to 9:30. All the proceeds go to the James Warrior. So that's good. And August 24th, Saturday, August 24th, at the Hope Rocks Music Festival. I'll have Joe Duffino in here to talk about that. I am doing a half hour with some of the cast from the Lifted Project, so that's good. And my hands are working without a warm up, so that's good. And I'm with Duncan Forbes. Hey, Duncan.
How's it going?
Good, man. So Duncan, it has been pretty pivotal in my life because the whole lifetime health journey started when I met Duncan, and Duncan told me never eat anything in a package. and now I'm 50 pounds shy, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on, man. So you're having a journey, yeah?
Oh yeah, having a journey, baby.
Tell us the story of 'cause I recently went on Ancestry DNA and found my whole family, but you went before me, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, I was actually adopted from Colombia,
right?
When I was a year old, and I guess when I found out I was adopted, somewhat of my journey of figuring out like who I am, what my purpose is, kind of started from there. And it's been going on for a while now. It's going on for a while. It's getting much better, but as everybody knows, life is a journey. So
do you adopted too? Do you find that starting off from that place doesn't give you the same compass that everybody else has in terms of figuring out who you are?
Yeah, it's interesting. It goes back into the idea of like nurture versus nature. I mean, my two parents were very loving, right? You know, like, and I felt loved. Good. And my friends at school were amazing. So I didn't think like anything was wrong to be adopted until I started kind of sharing a little bit more of my story to my friends. And at the time, my friends were like 11, 13 years old.
Right.
They're like, oh, snap, you're adopted. Like, oh, is this a big deal? So then for anybody that is listening that knows that they're adopted and is curious about finding like their origins, you know, I would suggest like, why not find it out? You know, there's always going to be questions in everybody's lives for people that are adopted, you know, and it's going to be building up inside of them,
right?
You know, and sometimes when people find the answer, it might open up more questions,
right?
But it will solve the primary questions. And for me, it's another reason probably why I went into leadership too, because both my mom and my dad, you know, I couldn't ask for anything else because I just, you know, the way that I was built up, so grateful for it.
That's fantastic.
But in terms of like building character, you know, and being a leader at my job, you know, I've become a leader to kind of find out better ways to be a better serving human, you know. And that's kind of why, you know, as we all progress, my story continues, starts from adoption, but continues into leadership and how to be a better person, better partner, and hopefully down the line, a better father and husband, you know.
Right. So I can think of one reason not to find your adoptive parents.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So, of course.
Did you hear my story?
No, actually didn't. So if you want to share, yeah.
So I get Ancestry DNA for Christmas. Trish gives me Ancestry DNA, right? And I felt like, and you know, you'll feel this too. Well, you have done it already, but I like Gramercy get to 16 without knowing what her ethnicity was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've you know, felt bad about that. I didn't do it for the medical reasons because I'm an older dad anyway. So I'm like, hey, if she hits 60 and nothing happened, you know, I just did. So nothing bad's going to happen. But then I'm like, all right, she should know her ethnicity. And Trish bought the thing. And so I send it in, comes back, and I find out who my father was immediately. And then I get these two. I'm so lucky. Like everybody in the family that I have met, I've met one sister. I'm close to another sister. I have a niece who's African American. I have another niece who in New Jersey who I'm close with. I have another niece upstate New York that I'm close with. So it's a little disarming to see how old these nieces are, but they're my nieces. But I found out about my dad. Turns out my dad burned a hole in the fucking universe. He went. You and I are probably related because of my dad. Tore a hole in the universe, and so. Part of what Ancestry DNA does is they give you a websites you should go research. Yeah. One of them is newspaper.com, which apparently has scanned every newspaper article ever in the history of newspapers.
Oh my God.
So I looked up my father there. This is my dad. In addition to burning a hole through the universe and impregnating literally everyone.
Oh my God.
He goes into the Navy at 17. He leaves at 19, I'm guessing dishonorably discharged. He then becomes a national news story. Because he goes to work in a Turkish bath in Manhattan.
Wow.
Him and two buddies get this idea that they're going to stage his kidnapping. And while everybody's in the bath, they're going to steal from all the lockers.
Right.
So they stage his kidnapping. They steal from all the lockers. Two buddies drive him up and they drop him off at the Newburgh police station up here. It's January, I'm guessing 3rd. It's 20 degrees outside. He walks in a sleeveless t-shirt to the police, and he goes, I was just kidnapped at a Turkish bath in Manhattan and they dropped me off here. And the police are like, what the fuck? No, that did not happen. So two days later, the two guys that drove him start flipping on each other to the police. Then they rat him out, and all three wind up in jail and become this national news story. So, you know, that's one case where not knowing would have been okay.
But you
actually went and met your parents, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like?
So, I mean, when I was young and started to get more detail about, like, my adoption, you know, there's more questions that happen. So I keep on asking more questions at the age of 16, at the age of 18, and then by the end of college before my first job, I was like, maybe this is a good idea to actually try to go find them. Right. You know, I'm a very curious George at the end of the day, right? And, you know, going back to the idea of this entire podcast, you know, I'm honored to be speaking about it because it all deals with, like, mental health,
right?
So, I mean, at the time, at a 21-year-old, like, I think my mental health is fine at the end of the day, right? Like, I already have unconditional love, like, for my family and for my friends. But there's still questions where it was leading up to a point of, hey, mom, dad, you know, I think it's time for me to actually go, you know, find them, you know? And they both agreed, you know, and I was very blessed for them to agree to go there. Yeah. And, you know, on the way to the airport, I just remember when my mom started crying, you know, I was just like, do you not love us anymore? And, you know, it was tough. It was tough, you know? And I was just like, of course I love you, you know? Just like, can we hold it together? We're not even at the airport yet, you know? But in a nutshell, we basically had 9 days to go find my birth mom, you know? Facebook, all of that stuff was still pretty new. There are ways to find people through social media, but we decided to go the old school route. We went to go stay with the translator that was the translator of for my family 21 years beforehand, right? Wow. So my family still stayed in touch with the translator, and the translator had kind of her own business, her own real estate, because she knew that the people that would come to a Columbia adopt, you know, the majority of them would actually come back, you know, and go through the same journey that I'm going. Pretty cool. And then I remember when we went to the apartment, there were actually pictures of all these kids that were adopted. And there was a picture of me, with my like sister at the, like, it was pretty crazy, you know? So that was the first, I would say, twilight zone,
right?
You know? And then throughout the time we actually went just like on a wild goose chase. Like one day we went to the adoption center to find out my paperwork. And then we couldn't really find my mom, but we found the employer of my birth mom. So another day we actually went to the old address of the employer of my birth mom, because my birth mom was, just a nanny at the time, right, or like a maid. But the woman didn't live there. But apparently the security guard knew who my employer was and pointed to another building, like, hey, go down here, like just a couple of roads. So then we finally go to that building, and we go up to the security guard. Hey, we're looking for something. Didn't really understand anything because the translator was doing everything for us, but we were able to get into the building. And I just remember, like, an old lady comes down, you know, says a couple of words to my translator. Translator says something back. And then the older lady just starts crying, you know. And it was like really just like nostalgic, right? And like, then after that, you know, there was only about like four or five days left in Colombia, right? So again, like, we were literally hoping from day to day we would have enough time to actually find her.
Right.
So then the employer still had the phone number to my birth mom. So he actually called, you know, and was like, hey,
by the way,
a son of yours that you gave up for adoption is in Colombia looking for you. Would you like to see? You know, so that was crazy.
Yeah.
And she agreed over the phone to come see me. Now, keep in mind that my birth mom at this time had a totally different life. She was actually with a different boyfriend with multiple other kids,
Your birth mom.
My birth mom. Okay. Yeah. She only knew that I was going to be in Colombia for like another couple of days.
Right.
So she literally told her boyfriend, like, hey, I have a birth son, like, that, like, I gave up for when I was very young. She had me when she was 16.
Wow.
And now he's back in Colombia looking for me. Can we have him over at the house? Okay. So the next day, she actually met me with a bunch of family members in the apartment building, in a separate apartment room. So that was pretty crazy, because she was saying, like, perdónme, like, lo siento, which, forgive me, I'm sorry. You know, which was, and it was like.
Did you hug when you first
saw her? Yeah, it was hugging, but it was just like very, you know, weird. Like, how does a man kind of accept these emotions, you know? So, and I've learned until recently that sometimes for men, like, when they're so filled with emotions, they just become numb, right? Yeah. So I became numb, like, like, awkwardly smiling, not really digesting it the way
just
that
gotta
I wanted.
Get through it.
Just get through it. And then the following day, you know, we decided to go up to, you know, where my birth mom and the rest of the family stayed. And it was on the outskirts of Bogota. And when I'm talking about the outskirts, it was literally like a clay hut, you know.
Oh, wow.
It was, you know, the bathroom was open with the kitchen.
Okay.
There was only one bedroom. And in the living room, which was like a 4x4, the kids were sleeping on the couch or even on the floor.
Wow.
You know, so in terms of like being grateful for what I already have, you know, it was just like probably a crazy, crazy situation, you know, and it made me just become more aware of the finer things in life and what really should be important to all of us. But I remember walking into the house, it says there was a sign in English that said welcome home. So that was beautiful.
That's nice.
Yeah. And I remember just on the same day, I was just like walking around with my half sister, you know, trying to learn Spanish. That was a good adventure. And then the final day, my half sister was just like hanging out with me for about 4 hours. We were literally just talking through Google Translate, trying to tell each other about our lives. And it was like beautiful, you know, we were catching up. And then you know, as we dropped her off and we were leaving, you know, there's definitely the final emotion came out, you know, for me, sure. You know, it's bawling because so grateful for what I've had, so grateful for the story that, you know, I found out about myself. And I guess that gave me an idea of, okay, so what do I want to be later in my life, right? Like, you know, in terms of mental health, I mean, people these days, you know, the newest generation, like their mental health problems are through the roof, right? And it's because of just like the way our environment is, the way that we're actually connected but disconnected at the same time too. And it's more important than ever to have the right mentors, you know? So for me, you know, that's what started my journey into like the fitness industry. Like, of course, I wanted to look good, the surface area stuff. Right. But, you know, to be successful is one thing, but then to honestly be fulfilled, you know, is a journey.
Completely different.
Yeah. You know, and I do the best I can to really kind of coach that through my clients, through my, you know, team members and so forth, because there's too much surface area, like bullshit, I should say, you know, and it's a sad thing. It really is a sad thing, too. You know, these, the idea of fitness has been commercialized in such a terrible way.
How do you mean?
So, I mean, especially for the younger kids, I mean, like, what does it mean to be healthy, right? Like, at a younger generation, it's bigger muscles, it's a flatter stomach, it's either a bigger butt, you know, and, and that's what the younger generation is exposed to. But what a lot of people aren't realizing is that, like, artificial intelligence will play such a bigger role in the influence of what true health should be, right? Now, in Spain, there was a model created by artificial intelligence that looks so real, right? And this girl actually looks beautiful, but this girl doesn't even exist. The reason why she was created was to actually bring in, you know, revenue for this like small clothing line.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, like there's these famous actors that are reaching out to this model that doesn't exist, you know? And it's funny, but it's also scary at the same time, right? Because now men are now starting to be attracted to what's not even real in the first place,
right?
And now women might have so much, you know, low self-esteem because of these unrealistic expectations of what beauty should technically look like too, you know? And it's just, it's getting harder and harder than ever to, for people to realize what health should be, you know, and then technically what, how relationships should be,
you know,
it's becoming harder than ever. Right. And there's, and because we have access to, you know, podcasting, which is, could be a great thing. There's a lot of hurt people on podcasts that are spitting out some crazy ideas, right? Of like, protect yourself. You know, you can do this all by yourself and so forth. Which, yeah, it's, you can. Anybody can. But like, true happiness and true purpose is shared at the same time too. You know, ultimately, we get to a point in our lives where it is more fulfilling, right? To share something,
right?
Right, like it's that's what I believe. That's like my full purpose too. So
okay, I got a shit ton of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
When you hugged your mother, that's the first time that you hugged your own DNA.
Oh yeah.
Did you feel it?
I felt something.
I did too. When I hugged my sister, it was the first time.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like you, if it's a different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't figure out how to articulate it, but it's, it feels like a different. It's a different connection than hugging anybody that doesn't have your DNA. So you felt that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some type of energy.
Right. Okay,
right there.
Good. So I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Second, it was interesting because you're talking about like kids and getting body dysmorphia and not understanding what reality is. And it's because, you know, Gramercy's 16 now. And all her friends have this crazy reaction to that, I think. Which is, they all wear the loose, they wear pajamas to school.
They wear
like the loosest clothes. And I know, and it's interesting because I wonder if that isn't a reaction to, because kids want to rebel. And I see so much unattainable perfection online. That maybe I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just going to throw a hoodie on every day and pajama pants and slippers. And
I wonder if that's, do you think that might be like a rebellious reaction to?
Well, I will tell you this. I think kids are actually way smarter than we were ever when we were younger, right? Yeah. They're just adapting, which is why the human species has been able to evolve for so many years, right? But at the same time, the amount of influence that we have on these kids is just so powerful at the same time too. So in terms of like rebellion, each kid is totally different. But, you know, as I continued to train as a personal training leader, like there's a few younger kids that I train, and I have young 15, 16 year old clients that, you know, ask me questions about cellulite, that ask me questions about like these certain things. Wow. And it's a privilege for them to be open like that with me too.
Right.
But it's just more important than ever to really make sure that you have the right communication with these young adolescents, right? Like what true health technically should be.
Right.
And it's even harder to say at your age, I understand these problems, because when we were 16, you know, we didn't have what they are exposed to right now too.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why, like, it's just in the personal training industry, it's no longer a service industry. It's a companionship industry right now. Like personal trainers have to be more empathetic and compassionate more than ever. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, it is important to understand the anatomy and physiology, but in terms of, like, we are the next line of therapists at the end of the day, you know? And with that responsibility comes great power too.
Yep.
And the fitness industry is not necessarily regulated. And should it be? People have different thoughts, right? Like,
do you think it should be?
I don't, it's tough, right?
Like, I think maybe it should be.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. You know, if something is regulated by the government, the process of things to do something, right, just takes much longer at the end of the day.
Right.
And also, like, you're also dealing with human beings, which means there needs to be creativity within, you know, the industry too. And to have something be governed, right, and to have something be kind of be universal in a human service industry, it makes sense to try to scale it, but I don't think it's possible, you know? So,
well, I mean, you can license a hairstylist.
You can.
And that's the same thing, right? Every hairstylist is different. Every head is different. You have to be good at a bunch of different stuff, but at least you know that hairstylist has gone through some accreditation.
Yeah.
And you know that if that hairstylist, I don't know what a hairstylist
is.
But there's a license to pull if something goes awry.
Yeah, yeah. Should it be done through the federal level? I don't know. Should it be done through the state level?
Yeah.
You know what? I would totally be open to that too.
Right.
I mean, we hear it all the time. Like, Oregon is now like approved like hallucinogens, you know, and mushrooms to help out with like certain issues, which, hey, listen, great for that state. Could it work? We'll see down the road, right? But from like a federal level, it's going to just be much harder too. And then it becomes like political. And listen, I don't care whatever side that you're on, but like mental health should technically be on the forefront of everything now.
Everything.
Like, and we're kind of seeing it in the news, right?
And that's, and the other thing that you guys are going to face is, which is why maybe licensure is a good idea, is there's a movement now, and I did it, but there's a movement now to experiment with alternative therapies other than pharmacology.
Exactly.
And fitness and exercise is the number one thing. If you are going to, and again, not giving advice, but if you're going to do what I did and haul yourself off 7 different pills a day, exercise is critical. And then if you're going to maintain it, exercise is critical. And whereas before people would come to, and by the way, you work for Lifetime, it's a kick-ass company. But even if on companies with different level, people traditionally have come to the gym because they want to look better, and then second, they want to be healthier, maybe, but they really just want to look better.
Yeah.
Now people are going to come to the gym like what I did, because I wanted to look better. Thank you for helping. But also,
it's all you, man.
No, it wasn't. But also, like, I want to feel mentally better. And a trainer's going to have responsibility for that.
A lot.
That's a different job than saying, hey, John, 20 is a magic number for sit-ups.
Yeah.
That's a very different job.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it might not be a bad idea for trainers to have some training in mental health and counseling and blah, blah, blah. Because I'm telling you, 4 years from now, if it isn't the case already, half the people in Lifetime that you direct are going to be there for their mental health.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's probably already happening.
Probably right there now. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we actually had a meeting on this. Like, usually with the teams that I lead, there's certain times in the quarter where I have like the future of fitness. Right. So we kind of talk about what other companies are doing. Right. Like right now we have artificial intelligence that's scaling programs. We also have in-home workout programs where people don't even have to go to the gym. And we also have GLP-1s, which is a pharmaceutical drug that's kind of making it a lot easier for people to lose weight.
Right.
Whether it's the right way or the wrong way.
Where do you stand on that?
I'm mixed. And the only reason why I'm mixed is because there are some people in the U.S. that technically need it because they are absolutely obese. But then you also have the people that can do it with patience, with consistency through a weight loss and an exercise program.
Right.
But nobody has the patience these days. You know, we're in just such a fast life now these days. We have.
But that's what you've done that's so good. Because I dropped 50 pounds with you all. And what you've done is create a place that you want to go to. That's the trick. Like, you know. Because you were the first person I met there.
I know. I'm honored. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I remember thinking, oh my God, he's cool. I'm gonna come back. and I came back. And then you know the I think you created a cool energy. You hired a cool staff.
Yeah.
And then that kind of spilled over into some of the members, and a lot of the members are really warm.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it becomes you want to go to place you. I would go even if I wasn't working out.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go awesome. Just to hang.
Awesome. That is so awesome.
No, yeah, yeah. And well, that's what you did. Congratulations.
Thank man. You. Thank you very much. That actually means like a lot.
Good.
So.
No, it worked. And you know, like some of my best friends are people you've hired now, and that's you know
that is so awesome. Yeah, yeah.
It's really wild. But I think you have established a model that should be followed.
Thank you.
The idea that programming matters. It does. Programming matters. But at the end of the day, I will lose weight if I spend more calories than I eat. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the programming matters. But the people matter more. Because if I have a DJ or I have a Dylan or I have an Elena, those are like my best friends. I'll go hang with them anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, it just happens.
Oh, that's awesome.
It just happens to be that we're working out really hard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's, yeah, especially in the area that I'm in Chappaqua, it's been so hard to kind of hire. It's been so hard to hire not only qualified professionals, but it's so hard to hire certain types of personalities, right? Yeah. Like my job as a leader is not to hire the next Duncan, but the first Dylan or the first DJ and so forth, you know? And when you work at a very big branded company, like they want to scale really quick.
Right.
And then I had to hold steady about my approach and be like, you know, hire slowly.
Right.
You know, and that's very interesting that it's now coming to fruition right now too, you know. Yeah. And I also have
You did a remarkable job. Yeah. Like I see on the show, she's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, Tasha, amazing.
Yeah, and you know, it's like it's really wonderful to hear that too, because when it comes to leadership, like the team is your reflection of you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I take pride in that at the same time. And and then with that being said, you know, the next goal is to how can we adapt to the quickly changing environment of what health should technically be. So we are no longer personal trainers, but we're actually the first line of defense in the healthcare system.
Yep.
And we are case managers right now too.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
You know, we are literally case managers to need to understand what acupuncture, what physical therapy, and what all of that stuff, you know, does. That if we cannot help, we need to have the knowledge to refer out if possible. So, and that's like the idea of like how the business works, but now how, you know, we work as well. you know, it's kind of interesting. Like a lot of people that get into this industry, there's something called like the wounded healer,
right?
You know, yep. attitude. Like
yep. same with therapy. Yep.
Yeah, same yeah. with therapy. And it's just like
people
a really
get into therapy to help themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and help them understand themselves too. And like it's a gift and a curse at the same time, which is another reason like why I kind of got into the fitness industry myself after figuring out like where my origins were.
Right.
Right? Like I never met my birth dad before. You know, it's probably a good thing because I probably would have punched him in the face with so much anger inside mm-hmm. of me. You know, like I just don't know who he is. But there's it goes
you don't
back.
Ask?
Well, my birth mom never like.
She doesn't know.
No, she doesn't know. Okay. Like what I know.
It's a good thing your birth mom and my birth dad did not get together.
Right, like imagine that. Right, right? But like it's just like one of those things that like. Why am I acting the way that I am, right? Like something's in my blood rather than just like my mom's side. Yeah, I'm going to work out and be healthy because I don't know what like cardiovascular issues, but like exactly like how do I constantly tick? Because mm-hmm. as I continue my path into trying to affect more members and team members, right, I obviously know that I cannot give what I don't have, which means like do I not
– think – so one of your legacies is going to be this amazing team that you built. Uh-huh. Do you think you could have built that without meeting your mother first, your birth mother?
It's a very good question. My approach would probably be different. If I never met my birth mom, if I never went to Columbia, I probably wouldn't nearly be as grateful, you know?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, the best decisions in your life comes from being grateful with what you already have rather than needing more and more and more.
Right.
Right? Right. Like, and that's like a very good question. You know, obviously that moment in time was needed, you know, and that moment in time helped me jumpstart who I was, like from a boy to an adolescent to then a man, right? Like it's so interesting because, you know, as I continue to grow, like being a male is a matter of, you know, birth, right?
Right.
Being a man is like just a matter of age, right? And then being a gentleman is a matter of choice.
Right.
Right.
Well said.
And then I need to, as I continue to grow, I need to make sure that like I am that right path to not only give, but to also receive when necessary too.
Right.
And then going back into like how I would build my team. One thing about me is I never leave a team member behind. And it's because of the abandonment issues that I technically have.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. Like I don't like firing people. You know, right. I like take them under my wing and I'll do everything I can to get them where they are. And sometimes like in my career, I've only let go of like one or two people.
That's hard.
Right.
That's
hard. And I've actually had over 100 trainers like be underneath me.
Wow.
And even like be like, it starts with the hiring process, but when you take over a team, like there's some people that you like kind of have to like coach out and everything.
Right.
But like that's part of like my leadership style. Like do not leave somebody behind.
Right.
Because I know what it feels like
right.
from a very dark level too, you know. Even though I have so much unconditional love like from my family and everything like that. It's just like the abandonment issues of like why the hell, what else is better? You know, it's just like.
That's a great – I love that. What else is better?
Yeah, yeah.
I can relate that because that's – you're always thinking that.
Yeah.
And you're always feeling like – you're always feeling like everybody else has a small step up that you will never get because –
Of course.
They know where they come from. Their family yeah, yeah. looks like them. They blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a weird – it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, you know. And with those feelings is as – I mean everybody – has a leadership capability inside of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not they're ready to access it and to grow with it and grow with it too,
right.
You know? And, you know, with the companionship industry, we do the best we can to at least coach that, right? Like to,
right.
like John, like everybody has, it's not about like whether you have the resources to lose weight or to get to your next step in your life. It's whether or not you're being resourcefulness, right? Like
right.
if you have the heart, if you have the mindset to do it, like anything can be achieved. And in this fitness industry, or I want to call it something else now. Like it's got to be something else. The fitness industry is just like too cheesy for me.
Unfortunately, healthcare has stolen what you really do, which is wellness.
Yeah, wellness. That's a very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
But healthcare already took it.
Yeah, you know, and that's so interesting. Like, and then with the wellness industry, it's just like, how do we, it's more than just like motivation. It's just like more than just like discipline, right? It's just like, I don't know, maybe it's character development.
It's coaching, I think. It's the idea that,
yeah,
you know, if you're a coach, you create a, first you create a space that people want to be in.
Yeah.
And then you realize that everybody who you want to be in your space is going to be have to be coached individually,
yep,
and differently. And then, you know, you're right. It does – what you're doing has expanded so much past, you know, do seven curls halfway, do seven curls halfway, and then do seven curls the whole way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so evolved so much past that.
Yeah, yeah.
That it requires like a special kind of intelligence to do it, I think.
Emotional and relational intelligence,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably the next thing that
yeah.
all case managers, personal trainers should start learning, right?
Yeah, I could not agree more.
And that's like what I'm starting to like get into right now. Like,
right.
And thank God for podcasts. You know, you listen to someone like Lewis House, Esther Perel,
yep.
you know, and all of these like famous entrepreneurs, but idealists, right? Because
right.
everybody's learning experience shouldn't stop within the four walls of the household, shouldn't stop within the four walls of like the place that they work at. Like everybody mm-hmm. during their own time of either driving or working out, like they have to learn other different approaches, especially when it comes to humans.
Well, that's something that I have come to respect about you a lot, because you're not 20 and you're now opening up all these other great doors. Like you're a really good guitar player and singer.
I'm okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I let you back out this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Next time you come on, bro, you're playing. But you know, you're doing that and playing out and doing open mics and stuff, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's have the open mic debate for a second. Okay, ready?
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to be anti-open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rationale was, if you do something for free, it becomes a free thing.
Mm, yep.
And then the people who are doing it for pay can no longer charge.
Ooh,
because
okay.
you can get it for free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if there's some people at Lifetime who have free memberships, nobody's going to want to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with open mics.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting.
So it's a challenge. Hey, how you doing? But on the other hand, I've come to see that we have to solve that problem a different way. Because somebody like you who's coming up and doing open
yeah, yeah.
mics, the more you can play in front of people, the better you're going to get
of
at
course.
Playing in front of people.
Of course.
And there's no entry-level musician job.
Yep, of
it's,
course.
It's not like you can start at the front desk being a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And then, no, you either get paid or you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what you're doing with open mics is actually really cool.
Yeah, you know, like, and it's...
Are you scared when you do it?
I mean, of course, but like I'm doing it because like there was just like probably like a traumatic point in my life where it led me to do, like I've always wanted to do this. There's things that I wanted to do in my life, and there was just like a past relationship that really excelled me to do that more. You
That's
know,
awesome.
It is. It's also pretty sad, but it's
hard.
Awesome that it's hard to do that too. And, you know, at the end of my life, like what I want to do is obviously be a family man.
Okay.
And I'm going to be that present father figure.
Right.
Right. Like, again, like I take this from my dad. Like, he's been the most present and the best man that I would ever want to aspire from. But, you know, I know what I want in my life, in my future, where I want to play at a bar, you know, on Friday nights,
mm-hmm.
Maybe once or twice, you know, but I also, you know, don't want to drink, and that time will come
right.
because my parents, both of my parents are recovering alcoholics
okay,
too.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the last relationship I had, you know, really excelled me into that, you know, because there was definitely some things that like I could have done better, but like I know that I needed to make the change, you know, God forbid, like I ever make the same mistake again. And it's because of music and art. Again, a form of therapy, which is
yeah.
why I do it, right? I'm also still like writing my book,
awesome.
You know, at the same time, and it's done, and I'm just editing it right now.
Right.
I might need to quit my job once it gets produced, because there's a lot of dark secrets about the company.
I gave you the answer to
that. Yeah, right?
Use a pen name.
Yeah, I know, right? But then again, like, people won't know. Like,
you want to own your work.
So it's really interesting, too. But yeah, like with the open mic night, you know, it does give me the ability to practice and give a lot of other people the practice. And for somebody that's like, the question should always be from time to time was like, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Right.
You know, and I played guitar, but I never played in an audience before. So I just did it, right? Like, I'm also taking dance classes right now.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to ask about that too.
Yeah, you know, and I'm doing dance for like a couple of things. One, like, I wanted to be the man of mystery on the dance floor too, but like, you know, it was the only way to be intimate without being intimate at the same time with someone too. And I can understand how people like, whoa, you like, you're dancing, like what are you trying to do, like get the girls? And it's like, to me, especially like with what happened to my life, it was just more than that, right? Because like, how can you be with the opposite, you know, gender and not be intimate at the same time, but also make them feel like safe and comfortable too. And dancing is like one of those things,
right?
You know, which is like such a beautiful part of it too.
Does dancing help you coach women?
It will help me understand them more,
right?
In terms of what they are looking for, in terms of like the personal training side, you know, there's certifications about the anatomy and physiology, but you know, what I've definitely learned is that like, in terms of like the gender roles, like women want more understanding and men want more attention. It's really interesting too, right? And that like this dancing thing has really helped me create new circles for my friends, right? Like, I don't even need to drink when I dance, which is like the beautiful thing about it too.
Right.
Right. But it also takes me back to a place of discovery.
Right.
You know, like which is just like a beautiful thing. Like, you know,
it's funny what you're saying though. Cause I there was a time where I drank more than my share.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got away from music and I got away from writing and, you know, I didn't have this outlet. And when I dialed it way, 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 way back, I actually quit for 8 years. And then now I do, but it's probably where it should be. Part of it is just like fighting boredom.
Mm.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Right? And music and dancing, that kind of stuff is a great way. Do you write songs?
I like wrote two songs, you know, to kind of enhance my like capability of like music.
Do you like them?
I think they're all right, you know, at the same time. But yeah, like, you know, it's a great outlet. Like in terms of like anybody that comes onto this show, like the reason why I love like your podcast, the idea of like what to do with mental health, what to do with redemption and so forth. Like, it's so easy for a man, right, to go back into the world of drinking, to go back into the world of porn, to go back into all of those things that like hasn't helped them grow in the first place.
Right.
You know, women these days actually have a better social circle and a support system than men do.
Totally.
Right. And it's just like, you know, there's definitely a lot of guy friends that I have that are great to hang out with. Right. But when it comes to actually talking about issues, the interesting thing that I've realized is that friends shouldn't just be people that you report to. Like, friends should technically be people that you should process with. You know, and a lot of people actually don't, a lot of men actually don't have that like emotional and relational intelligence.
Right.
So I'm currently doing a lot of like psychological work in terms of like courses. Shout out to Man Talks podcast. I got the shadow course, which is helping you understand like your inner child too. But also like, it's probably the wounded healer effect I'm trying to figure out myself. But like, it's
which
just
fine.
Yeah. Which is so important because like, you know, what you have created right now is a environment for men to come on and at least be somewhat vulnerable and be open. You know, like there's a lot of things that women have, you know, stress about, which should technically be looked at, but at the same time there's a lot of like gender roles and identities that men need to deal with.
Bro, I rant on this all the time.
Yeah.
I was a guest on another podcast, and you know, they were saying it was all women in the room.
Yeah.
It was, and they're saying, just be a man. They were talking about like, how would I approach you?
Yeah.
They weren't complaining that they weren't dating guys. And I'm like, well, how would a guy approach you? And they're like, just be a man. And I go,
what does that mean?
That's exactly what I said. I said, there is no definition anymore.
Yeah.
For being a man. If I come in, I'm too emotional, I'm needy. If uh-huh. I come in, I'm not emotional enough, I'm toxic masculinity. If I'm not in shape, I'm obviously a wimp. If I am in shape, I'm obviously stupid. You're so right. There's no way. We need to get to what you were saying, like understanding what healthy is, understanding what masculinity is too.
Yeah, yeah.
And half the population's men, and we don't have a definite. There's not even a goal anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what, you know, what do we aim for?
Yeah, you know, and to kind of help for the listeners, like what has helped me become a better man in my life, you know, probably the two most important things, and it's going to kind of sound a little bit weird, like, you know, stop worshiping sex, you know, which is a very interesting thing. Like porn, you know, it was just until recently that, like, you know, I realized how bad it could be for the mind, you know, for a man, right? To create unrealistic connections. And like what a connection should technically be.
Right.
And being a man that doesn't have any like sex discipline can easily be coerced.
Right.
By the wrong type of partner.
Right.
You know, and if you want to find that right partner, like you have to check yourself with that type of discipline too.
Right.
Because if sex is the only important thing, then it becomes like a very weird and bad bargaining tool in the relationship that you're currently in.
Right.
You know, so and
I don't like the idea that I'm totally with you on that. And I don't like the idea that I can be I don't like it, maybe it's arrogance, but I don't like the idea that I could be moved by sex. I don't like that I could be led by that or tricked by it or fooled by it or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I don't know if all porn is bad porn, but I know that too much porn is bad porn.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's my theory about strip clubs. Like I don't like strip clubs because people are like, oh, strip clubs objectify women. I'm like, no, they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It objectifies men.
Ooh, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Because it puts me in such a weak state that I think if I give somebody a dollar when they're naked in front of me, they like me.
Yeah.
That's empowering women. You get to trick me. It's not the other way around. I'm not fooling you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually a very, very interesting point about how I like it objectivized. I mean, listen, power to the women that are doing those things, right? If they need to play. But like a very interesting point about like what does it do for men?
Yeah,
at the same
time. It's not, you know, you're paying for college while you're doing it, which is great. But there's a guy who hasn't, and I love your journey on this, and we got to talk about.
Yeah.
But for a guy that doesn't understand how to manage his sexuality, it's just going in with my Venmo and just.
I know.
Getting people to like me by throwing, you know, money around.
You know, and like these days, like it's easier to find sex on the internet.
Right.
It's easier to like we are in a world where like chemistry is, you know, starting to be manufactured these days, but people don't know much about connection and compatibility.
Right.
Right. And that's why it's so important for young adolescents, like especially like for my future kid and for your kid as well too. Like how like more and more younger adolescents are more likely to watch their first porn sequence rather than have their first kiss.
Right.
And what it does to kids these days, it's going to lead into their mental health, their physical health and so forth like that
totally.
Too. You know, and probably.
Or are we evolving? Because one theory is, and I don't necessarily agree with this theory, but one theory is like, you know, people saying like we're losing our connection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, but there was one point in human evolution, where sitting around a fire and painting on a cave wall was as good as it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we stopped sitting around a fire and painting on a cave wall, we didn't say, oh, man, we're losing the joy of sitting around a fire and painting on a cave wall. We're like, oh, no, an indoor bathroom's nice and heat is nice. And we didn't – and I really struggle with this because part of me wonders like, okay, yeah, you know, yes, we're not connecting as much as we used to with our kids' generation isn't connecting as much as they used to. But – We automatically quantify that as bad, and I don't know if it is yet, or is it just the next step?
Very good question. I think the values are changing. the values are changing for all families and individuals and so forth like that too. Like, what is valuable to people these days? You know, like more than ever, you know, companionship for me and a mate is probably the most important thing.
But you're at that prime age where, like, you know, just biologically, like, you want to be a dad, and you're at that perfect age.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like so interesting too, because I'm definitely at that age, and like, I actually feel more than ready to take on the responsibility of those things.
Right.
You know, like working at Chappaqua, working at the Harrison Club, I worked with a lot of single individual professionals. So that was very interesting. Vibe. And then all of a sudden I start working for Chappaqua, where it's all about like families and so forth. Like, my team has taught me so much about the values of trust, of family, of compassion, of integrity, and so forth. We created a value board. We didn't even create like a vision board, because vision boards is more materialistic stuff. Right. But in terms of values, like, my job as a leader is to hold each and every individual like team member to those values.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and it's been tough, but like, I try to empower each individual team member to understand that like, we're all in this for like the same thing.
Right.
Like, you know, we're gonna have arguments, but we're all in it for the same thing. And I guess the last thing that I would say to like be a better man, right, is to help yourself find yourself to be in a better place in your life. Like, if you're in the exploratory phase of your life, if you're in the building phase of your life, you know, that's okay.
Right.
But when you start becoming complete, it's not that you'll find that person, but that person will find you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, it's kind of hard to listen to your own advice at the same time too. But like, as I continue to grow, like, I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that I never lose a person that I love like ever again. And, you know, it takes two to tango and everything like that. And everybody learns from different relationships too. But you get to a point, every man gets to a point where it's just like, do I want to just be like another chapter, you know? And that's why, like, for me, I'm going to start doing more courses to help men out.
That's awesome.
Right? Because, like, hurt people
right.
at the end of the day. And it just becomes, like, a revolving door of just, like, and, like, it's so interesting. There are more podcasts about, like, oh, yeah, women manipulate you and everything. And what I realized is that, no, they didn't. It's just, like, you've been really hurt and you haven't been able to recover from that.
Right.
You know? And it's just, like, If I have a guy, like, and they start listening to that podcast like that, then they're getting the wrong idea on how to actually treat people,
right?
You know, and it's just, and as I continue that journey, yeah, there's definitely like therapy and certain ideas and psychology works, but I've also going back into the idea of like religion, of like Christianity too, you know, can they coexist? I believe so. I believe that they have to coexist, because if they can't, it just becomes political.
Right.
But the values of certain religions are so powerful. They need to be practiced every day, right?
Yeah.
But they are so powerful that then ultimately, when you do find that person that has the same values, things become smoother.
Right.
It becomes so smoother. You know, I never really, like, I went to Presbyterian school when I was little. And when I first got demoted from my like assistant department lead job, like, I went to Hillsong, you know, in the city. And for anybody that knows Hillsong, you got to watch the Hulu like, thing too. But like, you know, there's definitely been like this higher need, this higher power that I've always technically been looking for. Right. So it's definitely been like a journey for me. Like, I now go to church like every Sunday and so forth like that.
That's
too.
Awesome.
And I love it. And my mom wants to come with me now, you know,
that's
and
great.
I actually have like a couple of friends that want to come. Am I a church boy? We'll see, you know, like, do I like going to church every week so far? Yeah, I do. Right. Because it definitely creates some structure.
Sure.
Right. But now in a world of freedom, now in the world where the gender roles can actually change and be different than what the Bible says, it is more important to ask the right questions and not find the right answers, because in the world of freedom, all of these problems don't necessarily have to be solved, but they technically just have to be managed.
Right.
You know, which a lot of people just don't realize, you know?
So. Yep. That's beautiful, man. I got to get you out of here.
Yeah, yeah. No worries. No worries. No worries.
You got to come back.
No, this was awesome.
I'm like 15 minutes through my hour with you.
Yeah. No, this was beautiful, and thank you so much.
No, I wanted to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I'd still be fat. And the team that you built has, I mean, you know the impact that they've had on me and my family. And I'm super grateful for that.
I am very grateful to hear a success story like that.
And I love the way you think.
Thank you.
And I think you're a great example of being willing to learn, man.
Yeah.
And
should be a student of life, yep.
Yeah, man. And you will come back, please?
Just let me know when, all right? We'll figure out some times, okay?
Done.
We'll see how many likes that this podcast gets so far,
Duncan Forbes, you're an amazing man. Thank you for being my friend.
Thank you very much, John.
And I was home.
Cheers.